Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Matthew 7:13, we find the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Jesus is teaching the multitude. As we examine this passage of Scripture, "Enter ye in at the straight gate," we first of all are impressed with the choice that Jesus gives. Jesus is urging those who are listening to him teach upon this particular occasion as he sits upon the mountain, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." He urges them to enter. He presents with them a choice of either entering or not entering. All of us are individuals who have choices and who make choices. We realize from our experience in life that some of the choices that we make are good choices, and we also understand that some of the choices that we make are bad choices. We surely must examine the choice which Jesus gives unto us. The words of Christ are worthy of careful examination. We must pay very close attention and give very personal heed and serious heed to the words which Jesus speaks. There is a choice that we have in life. We can either enter in at the straight gate or we can stay without. Revelation 3:20, Jesus is speaking to one of his churches. And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." The Bible presents us with a choice. Jesus said, "I stand at the door and knock." As we hear the knocking of Christ, as we hear the calling of Christ through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we hear the urging of Christ for us to open, we have the choice of either opening the door and letting Christ enter, or we can refuse to open the door and we can shut Christ out. The choice is ours. We can do with Jesus what we choose to do. We can either allow him to enter into our heart and take control of our life, or we can refuse to do so. As we live in this world, we can live in service to the Lord Jesus Christ, or we can live in service to the devil. But one or the other we will serve. We must choose Jesus. Jesus is knocking at the door of my heart, and he knocks at the door of your heart, and he desires to enter. But I must hear his voice, and I must open the door. This is an action that I must perform. This is a choice that I must make. If I will open the door, then Jesus will come in and sup with me. But if I do not open the door, if I refuse the entrance of Christ into my life, then he will stay without. In the Old Testament book of Joshua at chapter 24 and verse 15, we find that Joshua has come to the end of his life. He has led the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the promised land of Canaan. He had taken the place of Moses and had become God's leader for this people. The land has been taken and the land has been divided and given to the various tribes. And now Joshua comes to the end of life and he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua had made a choice long ago as to whom he would serve. And now he impresses upon this people at the end of his life that they must choose who they are going to serve. They can either serve the Lord, or they can serve the gods of the land. We have that same choice. We can either serve God or we can serve the gods of the land. You will notice that there are gods of the Amorites. There were various gods in this land. There were false gods. In our society today, there are false gods. There is the false god of religion. There is the false god of wealth. There is the false god of power. There is the false god of pleasure. We can bow before the altar of a false god, or we can bow our knee in service to the Lord. We must choose who we will serve, just as these people in the long ago had to choose the one whom they would serve. In Matthew 23:37, Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Here was a choice that had been made. As Jesus had entered into Jerusalem for the final time, he urges them to follow him. He declares unto them his great love for them, his great concern for them. He declares unto them that he would have gathered them together, but they would not. They had made a choice. So many today have made the choice of not being gathered unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So many walk astray from Christ. So many travel afar off. So many, many refuse to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 10 and verse 16, But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? In the day of Paul, many had chosen not to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is God's power to save the soul, Romans 1, 16. It is declared to be the foolishness of men, but the power of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And here the apostle says, not all have obeyed the gospel. In our day and time, not all have obeyed the gospel. But the gospel continues to be preached because of the love that God has for the souls of humanity. In John 5 and verse 40, Jesus said to a group of people who were hearing him teach, Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. They could have life. We can have life, but we must come to Jesus. The choice is ours. In Acts 28:24, some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. As Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 7 and verse 13, Enter ye in at the straight gate. He presents to us the choice, but let us also examine the gate. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. In Matthew 7 and verse 14, Jesus said, Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. A gate is a means of entrance. Many people have gates into their houses. Many people live in a gated community, which means that in order to be in this community, we must pass through the gate. The gate is a means of entrance. And Jesus has presented this term and this illustration of a gate as a means of either entering into life or entering into destruction. There is a wide gate and there is a straight gate. The straight gate means that there are restrictions, there are boundaries, there are responsibilities, there are works that must be obeyed and that must be followed. God has a standard of life by which we must live. God has requirements for us to become His. God has a standard by which we must live. The gate is straight and the way is narrow, but it leads to life. Few there be that find it. Few make the choice of entering the straight gate and the narrow way. The gate requires an examination on my part. The gate requires a denial of myself. The gate requires a repentance or a turning from sin. The gate requires that I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel requires that I live a faithful life of service unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The gate indeed is straight, and the way indeed is narrow. Not all will enter, only a few. Luke 13:24, Jesus said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." We cannot simply seek to enter into this gate, but rather we must strive to enter the gate. The word strive means to work or labor as in agony of soul. Jesus requires that we be responsible for our actions, responsible for our decisions. We understand from the gate that we have to meet the requirements that God has set forth. We have to do what God wants us to do. We cannot simply do anything that we might choose to do. We cannot give unto God what simply we might choose to give unto Him, but rather we must meet the standard that He has set. In Matthew 16:24-25, then said Jesus unto His disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." These are the requirements of discipleship. This is how we enter the straight gate and walk the narrow way. We must deny ourselves. We must leave self behind. We must allow self to die. And we must take up our cross. We must fulfill our purpose. We must do the work that we are called upon to do. We must accept the talent and use the talent that has been given unto us. We have a gift, and using that gift is a requirement that is made of us by the Lord God. And we must follow Christ. We must walk in His steps. We must do as He has commanded. We must follow His will and His word. And then finally, as we examine the straight gate, we notice the reward. There is the choice, there is the gate, and there is the reward. Matthew 7:14, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." The reward of the straight gate and the narrow way is life, eternal life, everlasting life. There is a heavenly reward that is promised to those who will follow the Lord and who will walk in His way. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The reward for believing in Jesus Christ is everlasting life, eternal life. Titus 1:2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." The promise of God is eternal life. This is our reward for a life of service. This is the reward that we will receive if we deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. This is the reward for walking in the narrow way by entering the straight gate. 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." Notice that the apostle says we must lay hold on eternal life. That is the work that we perform. Eternal life is given by the grace of God, but there must be the work of faith in our heart that lays hold upon this gift that God has promised. We must secure it as our own. We must allow eternal life to take control of our heart and our life. We must strive to lay hold upon eternal life. We must see eternal life as this great lasting reward that God has promised. John 6:27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Let us choose to enter the straight gate. Let us choose to walk the narrow way, so that we might receive this wonderful, gracious gift of God, the reward of such a life of service to the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal, everlasting life. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.